Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones with Something Good Radio. Today's message is coming your way next, but before I get started, I just want to thank you for all you're doing to help me share the good news of Jesus Christ through this gospel media ministry. Your prayers and financial support make sure these messages can be heard all year round, all over the world. As you may know, December is always a critical time for the ministry. But it's also a time when a lot of people are looking for answers that only Jesus can give them. And when they go looking, Something Good Radio is one of the places they come. For that reason, and because we are 100% listener-supported, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider sending a generous year-end gift to Something Good by December 31st. Brian will share the details with you at the end of today's message, or you can make your gift right now at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or call our offices at 757-276-1099. From all of us here at Something Good Radio, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and may God bless you during the coming year.
The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Hello, and thanks for stopping by for this Christmas Eve edition of Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis. So glad you've chosen to spend part of this special day here with us. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it wasn't merely a child being born. It was God Himself choosing to live on earth with us so that one day we might live in heaven with Him. Today, Ron takes a look at just what this name, Emmanuel, means for you and me as he continues his teaching series, Knowing God by His Christmas Names. Stay with us now or come see us at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, Emmanuel.
Hello, friend. Merry Christmas to you. We've been getting to know God by His Christmas names, and so far we've gotten to know Him as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Those four Christmas names come from a prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, about 700 or 800 years before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And then we move into the New Testament, to the gospel stories, and last time we got to know Him as the Logos, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Today I want us to get to know Him by a name that is probably most commonly associated with Christmas, Emmanuel. God with us. And I want to read from Matthew's gospel beginning in chapter 1 and verse 18, where it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." Here it is. This is the focus of our time today. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus, a name that we'll look at next time. But today we want to talk about Emmanuel. God with us. I possess a small book in my library by J.B. Phillips titled, "Your God is Too Small." And I've always appreciated what the title suggests. That is, when we try to reason in our own minds what God is like apart from His self-revelation, we usually end up with a God that is Well, too small to meet our modern needs. Philip says that our problem is that we have failed to outgrow our Sunday school images of God that include, for example, and I love how he identifies some of these, seeing God as the resident policeman who stands ready to blow the whistle at us if we act inappropriately. Or how about the image of God as a grand old man who sits in his rocking chair, shaking his head and saying, "Tsk, tsk, boys will be boys." Phillips also says that pictures of Jesus as the pale Galilean and the meek and mild rabbi make our Savior way too small. Do you remember the Hollywood movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Kind of reminds me of sometimes we ought to say, Honey, I Shrunk God, because our image of Him, our understanding of Him is way too small. Phillips writes, if it is true that someone is in charge of the whole mystery of life, we can hardly expect to escape a sense of futility and frustration until we begin to see what he is like and what his purposes are. Phillips' words here remind me of A.W. Tozer, who said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And certainly that is true at Christmas. This Christmas, is your God too small? Is it too small? Now, what does all this have to do with Christmas? Well, the celebration of our Savior's birth gives us the opportunity to think thoughts about God that are appropriate to His size. And in doing so, we discover that God is more than big enough to meet our modern needs, whatever need we might have, even this Christmas. Of all the Christmas names of God, Emmanuel captures the essence of the Holy Child born in Bethlehem as much as any other name we've studied. It is certainly the one we associate with Christmas first. Centuries apart, the prophet Isaiah and the angel of the Lord, as recorded in Matthew's gospel, call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, let's look closely at the Nativity. And as we do, we will find both big and small things there. Emmanuel, the God who is with us, well, let's just say He is bigger than the universe He created, and yet small enough to fit inside Mary's womb, small enough to arrive in a tiny hamlet called Bethlehem, in this remote place located on planet Earth in a small galaxy called Milky Way, which is part of the larger universe. All of it just mind-boggling. How can such a big God get into such a small place? By condescending to our humanity, and that's what God did. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, when Emmanuel became God with us, by condescending to our humanity, God becomes accessible and larger than life at the same time. This is Christmas. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. The greatest Christmas miracle is Emmanuel, God with us. The greatest Christmas gift is God's presence. And knowing God by His Christmas name, Emmanuel, is meaningful, I want to say, especially when life doesn't make sense. And I want to turn our thoughts toward that idea and wed them to this beautiful Christmas name of God's, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's imagine what it was like for Mary and Joseph on the first Christmas. They were two teenagers in love, dreaming about their future, looking forward to their wedding day. Then Joseph learns that the love of his life, Mary, is pregnant. And he knows he's not the father. Put yourself in Joseph's sandals long enough to feel his pain, to experience his confusion. Where is God when your sugar plum dreams are shattered into a thousand pieces? Well, the answer might surprise you. He's still with us, even when life doesn't make sense. Matthew records the story this way and explains in chapter 1 and verse 23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yet when life doesn't make sense to us, it still makes sense to God. It's still part of His plan. His plans are not our plans. His ways are higher than our ways. And besides, God is under no obligation to explain Himself to us. But thankfully, for Joseph and for us, all these centuries later, reading about the story here, God chose to explain everything to Joseph in a dream. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1 and pick it up in verse 20. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Long before the age of sonograms and genetic testing, Joseph learned that Mary, his betrothed, would have a baby boy. He also received a lesson in supernatural biology. According to the angel from heaven, the Holy Spirit of God made Mary pregnant. And if that news wasn't almost too much for Joseph to digest, he also learned Mary's baby would accomplish something really big, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's why Emmanuel's name is also Jesus. But for now, let's focus on Emmanuel, God with us.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones. But first, he joins me to talk about his latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, the book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. And what inspired you to write it?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can. And I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone and call our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get you back to the rest of today's message, Emmanuel. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
Joseph received a rare explanation from God. But you know, friend, life doesn't always happen that way. Today, as the Apostle Paul says, we view life through a dark mirror, fuzzy images of what's happening kind of behind the scenes. One day we will see clearly how the Lord is weaving the small and sometimes painful threads of our life into His grand tapestry. But oftentimes we are left with a lot of unanswered questions, aren't we? And that is when we must have faith that Emmanuel is still with us, that when life doesn't make sense, when our plans get all thrown into craziness, God still has a plan. He is still with us. He's not forsaken us. James Dobson, years ago, wrote a best-selling book titled, When God Doesn't Make Sense. Listen to what he said. Clearly, the Scriptures teach us that we lack the capacity to grasp God's infinite mind or the way He intervenes in our lives. How arrogant of us to think otherwise. Trying to analyze His omnipotence is like an amoeba attempting to comprehend the behavior of man. He says Romans 11 and verse 33 indicates that God's judgments are unsearchable and His ways past finding out. Similar language is found in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Clearly, says Dobson, unless the Lord chooses to explain himself to us, which often he does not, his motivation and his purposes are beyond the reach of mortal man. What this means in practical terms is that many of our questions, especially those that begin with the word why, will have to remain unanswered for the time being. Those are some pretty insightful words from Dr. Dobson, and words that we can take to heart this Christmas as we get to know God by His Christmas name, Emmanuel, God with us. In the meantime, when we don't have all of our questions answered, we can put our faith and trust in Emmanuel, who is God with us. Let me ask you, friend, is this Christmas difficult for you? Are you going through a tough time right now, a time that doesn't make sense, a time that is confusing, a time where, yeah, some of your sugar plum dreams have been shattered into a thousand pieces? Well, I encourage you to reach for faith. Embrace Emmanuel. Even when life doesn't make sense, God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will not abandon us. God promises His presence, and that is the best Christmas gift anyone can give or receive. And you and I are on the receiving end of Emmanuel, God with us. As we said when we looked at Logos, God took the first step and moved toward us and chose to hang out with us. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, and with his brother Charles, they wrote many, many great hymns of the faith. On his deathbed, John Wesley was thinking about Christmas. He was thinking about Emmanuel. The last recorded words of John Wesley on his deathbed are this: "The best of all is this, God is with us." Say that with me, friend. God is with us. Personalize it and say, God is with me. He hasn't abandoned me. This Christmas, keep things simple. I say, like Mary and Joseph, walk by faith, knowing that Emmanuel is still with you. He's right there. He hasn't abandoned you. Even when life doesn't make sense, even when life takes a turn in a direction you did not anticipate, get to know God this Christmas. Get to know Him personally. Get to know Him in a deeper way, because His name is Emmanuel, God with us.
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, Emmanuel. And I'm pleased to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Ron, I love this particular name of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Such a beautiful picture of His love for us, His compassion for the plight in which humanity finds itself, and His willingness to do the unthinkable, come to earth and die for mankind in order to undo the eternal damage mankind created for itself by rejecting God in the first place. It's almost fairy tale-like, Pastor. And I guess that's the problem for some people. It seems too good to be true, which causes many to ask the question, why in the world would God do it this way? Why would the most powerful being in the universe come to earth to die for sinners, instead of demanding that sinners die for Him? And for an awful lot of them, the answer is, He wouldn't. Because let's face it, Pastor, this whole thing doesn't make any sense at all, does it?
Brian, let me do something I know I shouldn't do, and that is to answer a question with a question. But bear with me, because there's a reason I'm asking.
Sounds fair to me, Pastor. I imagine you're about to say something good. See what I did there?
I see, Brian. You know, you've always been a bit of a comedian. I give you credit for that. And I believe what I'm about to say is something good, because I think it just might be of service to our listeners who have been asking this question perhaps all their lives. You know, there are people who say they have rejected Jesus Christ because the whole story makes so little sense to them. It comes across as some sort of elaborate, maybe deliberate lie, or as you say, just too good to be true. Now, here's the question. Brian, what makes more sense to you? That the God of the universe would ask His followers to lay down their lives for Him? Or that our Creator would lay down His life for us? Which one sounds more like something an all-powerful being would do?
Seems to me he'd ask his followers to make that sacrifice for him.
Exactly. And Brian, that is precisely what would make the most sense to any human being. And the gods we've made up for ourselves through the centuries, I'm thinking of the Greek and Roman gods like Zeus and Apollo, for example, or the Muslim god Allah, are exactly like that. They demand payment by mankind for the sin of mankind in order to produce the salvation of mankind. And that makes perfect sense to us, which is precisely the reason we ought to reject them as false gods. They are simply more powerful versions of us, Brian, which is a dead giveaway that we made them up in our own minds. Let me put this another way to drive the point home. If this all-powerful, all-knowing, supreme being who is supposedly worthy of our worship and adoration, if he did the very thing that makes perfect sense to our imperfect minds, if he does the very thing we would do if placed in the same situation, is he really any different than we are? Can he really be called God?
So it sounds like what we're saying is that the God who makes no sense to us is the God who should make the most sense to us.
That's a great way to put it, Brian. Here's another. If you understand every move made by the God you worship, you picked the wrong God. And here's the irony. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God tells us, and I'm paraphrasing here, we're told that the idea of Jesus Christ coming to earth as God in the flesh and being crucified for our sins, listen to this, it's a stumbling block to the Jews. And get this, Brian, it's called foolishness to the Gentiles. And of course, for many, that's exactly what Christmas and the cross of Jesus Christ means to them. It's foolishness. It's preposterous. It's impossible to believe. Too good to be true. And so we add things to the good news of Jesus Christ, things that help the plan of salvation make sense to us. Things like penance as a means of earning salvation, or doing better, trying harder, behaving better as a means of earning salvation. But if we were actually called upon to play any sort of role in our salvation, Brian, it wouldn't work. We'd still be eternally damned. And that wouldn't be good news at all, because God's standard is perfection, and we can't possibly live up to it. So let me close this as we prepare to celebrate our Lord and Savior's birth. The reason the gospel of Jesus Christ is such good news is that Jesus Christ paid the full price for our sins all by himself. Zero help from us, Brian. The bad news is we can't do anything to earn it. The good news is we don't have to. And that's what the gospel is all about. It's called God's Christmas grace. So for anyone out there listening who still has doubts, believe me, I understand your doubts, because the good news doesn't make sense. But please, I urge you this Christmas to consider Jesus. Consider Emmanuel, God with us, who paid the full price for your sins so you wouldn't have to. And realize that the redemption plan of the one true God is not supposed to make sense to a mere mortal human being. This is why the gospel is such good news. It's too good, but it is true. Place your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. It will be the best decision you ever made, especially this Christmas.
And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for that great word of encouragement, Pastor. Now, as we wrap up another great message here on the program, tell us where you're headed tomorrow on our Christmas Day edition of Something Good.
Well, Brian, I believe I've saved the best for last. I'll be wrapping up this series, Knowing God by His Christmas Names, with the seventh and final name, the name Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, just Jesus. Christ is His title. It means Messiah or Anointed One, but His name is Jesus. And I've got to tell you, Brian, it's the most beautiful name ever given and ever spoken. There's a reason why God instructed Mary and Joseph to name him Jesus. I'll be taking an in-depth look at the story and the name next time, right here on Something Good Radio.
It all comes your way on Christmas Day when Dr. Ron Jones wraps his teaching series, Knowing God by His Christmas Names. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying Merry Christmas and thanks for listening.